I think the vetting process, and I think first it's important to understand, you know, what the National Assembly is expected to vet for, and constitutionally, as the National Assembly looks at the cabinet as presented, particularly in the last batch, when they were looking at whether, you know, these men and women are men of integrity and whether they meet the Chapter 6 requirements, Chapter 6 constitution requirements, and secondly, whether they meet then the principles of gender balance and whether they meet the principles of regional balance. And the Public Appointments Act then goes further to define, you know, what else they vet for, and this then includes whether they have the correct qualifications for the job and the relevant experience. So I think with the last vetting process, we did feel that a lot of, you know, while gender requirements were met, it was very difficult to accept that regional balance, for example, was met by the cabinet, because we did see that a lot of the nominees came from, you know, a few communities, while, you know, the rest were just then plugged in. And then the public also did have a lot of questions around the integrity of certain nominees that were passed. So there was definitely a weakness in the vetting as was done, you know, previously.
Some people are saying that both the ethnic and regional balance were not met, as you earlier stipulated. How will this be addressed?
What we particularly in the court coalition, you know, or in the minority, did raise was this, you know, the fact that ethnic balance was not met. But as you know, we did not have the sufficient, you know, numbers to reject the list on this basis, because that was, of course, the point at which we should have addressed it. But you know, beyond that, we made our point known that regional balance was not met, and we are now looking at the list of principal secretaries as they come, and we do hope that they will meet this requirement, particularly because we made our point during the vetting for the cabinet secretary.
Going from the issue of vetting and then looking at the payment, how are Kenyans reacting to that, and what is your particular constituency residents telling you about this controversy?
We have right now, with the two main cabinet secretaries, I think all they can look out for them is whether these two are adding to the skewed nature of the previous list, which in my view it's not, because we have two people again from different ethnic communities coming in, so that will of course work out well for the list. But now we will be expecting the committee to tell us, are these two gentlemen qualified? Are they sufficiently experienced? Do they have the track record to deliver for Kenyans in the docket in which they have been placed? So that is a big question. We know that one who has been nominated for the Ministry of Interior has been a hotelier, you know, his entire life. And we must also note that when, at the beginning, there was a good, you know, trend established where the nominees went and met with the president and his deputy and were interviewed, and their suitability for the job, you know, established at that point. But these two last nominees, you know, sort of took us back to many, many years back when people had that they were appointed, you know, at 1 o'clock news. And this was a disappointment, because we thought we had moved to a point where we were, you know, engaging our people and interviewing them before nominating them. But these two last nominees, like, you know, in many, many years ago when nominees had, they were either hired or fired, you know, through 1 o'clock news. That was a disappointment right there. I think on the second issue of of the controversy or the issues now raising from Parliament about the pay. Of course, the genesis is that the office of MP has previously had a certain pay, and this current Parliament has been proposed for a pay that is 67% lower. And what we are saying is what Parliament is saying is, can we talk and find a solution? Because when we say the pay is 57% lower, then we want to know, you know, why exactly is the pay for members of Parliament 57% lower, while the other arms of government retain previous, you know, pay. So there is, I'm looking forward to discussions between the Parliamentary Service Commission and the Salaries and Remuneration Commission to resolve this claimant.